Well, I thank the Lord that we have this opportunity once again to be meet together in the service of God. I count it a privilege to be here, and I hope that each one of you will feel the presence of God. I think the Lord has blessed our song service and all that's gone forth already, and I trust he will continue to bless. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we come before you in Jesus' name, thanking you, Lord, for this privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus that came and died, that we might have this privilege, dear Lord. And so today we ask you to anoint your word, and may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. And even though some of you I have never met or seen, I give my love to each and every one of you this morning. The thought the Lord has placed on my heart is adoption. And the scripture that inspired this thought is found in Galatians 4 and 4 through 7. I would appreciate if we would have someone that would read the scriptures for us.
But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ.
So you see what God has provided for us. He has adopted us. It is a privilege to be adopted by Almighty God. And you know something? Through this adoption, we are able to partake of his great love and care. I was thinking about adoption. I've been through the adoption process, so I have had experience with it. And the adopted child does not need to feel of less value than the birth child, because the adopted child was chosen. Sometimes I think and know that in some births, that child may have been not expected, a surprise. And in some very serious cases, it might have been a mistake. But not with the adopted child. The adopted child is chosen. And so we can have a great appreciation of God being so loving toward us and choosing to adopt us as his son. And if you notice in this scripture, it says, wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. It is through Christ that we have this adoption. It's through our salvation. It's through our rebirth. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, I believe that's in Matthew. Let me see if I can find it. It might be Matthew 3 and 9. I'm not sure. But he told them, you must be born again. And when we are born again, then we are adopted into this great salvation. We're adopted into this sonship. We become sons of God. We become children of God. We become the people of God. And all of this we get through adoption. We didn't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. But yet, God loved us so much that he chose us. Get that scripture, if you will, Matthew 3:9. I'm not sure if it's the one that I want.
I'm gonna start reading it. I don't know which part exactly you want. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.
Yes.
The wind blew where it listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Did I get to the part you wanted?
Yeah. See, I just wanted us to see that this adoption that we have comes through our second birth, our being born. Once we are born of God, then we become adopted as the sons of God. Now, let's go to Ephesians 1:3-9.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory and of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Let me read 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself.
So you see how that God has provided us this great privilege, and this privilege comes through salvation. Sometimes I think people that are not, maybe haven't accepted the Lord, they feel like they kind of don't realize the value of this great salvation. They think it's a hard life, it's a dull life, it's a miserable life, but they don't realize the great privilege that we have to be adopted as a child of God. You see, this adoption that we have doesn't just last to this life. It continues on. It's an eternal inheritance that we receive. You see, when we are adopted by God, God is the living God. He's the Almighty God. He has all things. There's nothing lacking. And so when we're adopted through Christ, we have will not lack, because he'll be there for us. He will love us. He will take care of us. He will provide for us. We have a great inheritance. Some people are so happy if they maybe have a relative that passed away and put their name in their will, and they have inherited certain things. But you see, God puts our name in his will, so to speak, and we inherit everything. And not only just us, but we inherit what Jesus has. It is a great privilege to be adopted. I was thinking when I went through the adoption process, they told me, and it was in writing, that the child would have the same privileges. There's no difference. If something happened to me, I feel sorry for them because I don't have a lot. But anyway, what I have, they have equal access to the what I have as much as the birth children are. And so we can look at our adoption into this great family of God, that we have the same privilege. There's none that might feel like they got more privileges than others. We all have the same. And the same with Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Read Romans 8, 14 and 15.
Romans 8 and 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
See, we can call God our Father now. We're adopted. We just like the child took on our name, my husband, our last name, they can say mama. They can say daddy, because they were adopted. And the same with us. We've been adopted into this beautiful family, and we can cry, Abba, Father. When we have a need, when we have a problem, we can go to God as our Father. Do you know there was a time when there were certain ones, the Jews, they were the chosen people of God. They could claim that. And once, I think even Jesus or somewhere in the scripture says salvation was of the Jews. But the Lord opened it up that everyone, everywhere, has the privilege to be adopted into his family. Let's go to Matthew 3:9. That's the one I called earlier.
Matthew 3:9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.
See, that some people were saying that when Jesus came, they were still, in other words, I'm the privileged child. I've never been in bondage. I never had this, that, and the other. So that I have Abraham to my father. And even some of them would say stuff like Moses. They pointed back to Moses and so forth. But today they can't do that, because through Jesus, this great salvation is open to every single person, no matter what nationality, no matter what status in life, no matter what, even if I have a handicap, blind, I'm limited, it doesn't matter. Because he adopts us all. We're all adopted children of God. Ephesians 2, 11 to 19.
Ephesians 2 and 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, but to make in himself of twain one man, as making peace. How far am I going?
To 19.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, and fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God.
You see, what happened was before Jesus came, the Jews were God's chosen people, and they could lay claim to being salvation or God's presence with them. But now through Jesus, he broke down that middle wall of partition. There are no nationalities or no group of people that can feel that they have they're above anyone else. So he broke that down. They look down on other people. They look down on the Gentiles and the different nationalities that were not a part of them, but can't do that anymore because Jesus has brought us all together. And he's made it possible that all of us now can have access to the Father. It's through Jesus. We can have equal access. And so we can appreciate what God has done for us. No one is left out. I'm so thankful that God's plan of salvation reaches every single soul, no matter what state they're in. And he adopts us. When we give our heart to God, when we accept Jesus in our heart, when we are born again, we are adopted as his child. And we become heirs of the promise. Let's go now to Romans 8, 16 and 17. And we're joint heirs with Christ.
Romans
8.
16. Romans what?
8 and 16 and 17.
Romans 8, okay. Romans 8 and 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
You know, one day we're going to see the other part of this inheritance. We have a little taste of it here. We receive some of the inheritance here as we give our heart to the Lord and as we live saved. Paul put it kind of like, he said, there's a word I want to say, the earnest of the Spirit. In other words, we get a little taste of it here. But then in eternity, we will be able to get the fullness of our inheritance. So it is a blessing to be considered, adopted as his sons and as his daughters. Now let's go to Galatians 4 and 1.
Galatians 4 and 1. Galatians 4.
1 to 7.
1 to 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God set forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Yes, and I think I had that scripture before, but anyway, we see how that God has made it possible for us to be heirs of the kingdom. Ephesians 1, and we're going to read verses 3 to 11.
Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace.
So we see that through one of the things that, no, I shouldn't say one of the things, but we have this inheritance where we are saved and we are accepted with him. Do you know we of our own self are not accepted with God unless we partake of this great salvation that has been provided for us. So we're thankful for the privilege that we have. Now we want to think about what should, knowing all this, knowing that God has adopted us, knowing that he has poured his love on us and given us this privilege to really live a better life. Even though it may look like the way of the Lord is hard, it's not. The way of the transgressor is hard. But the Lord has given us a privilege to live free from sin and to get out of the place we were in. Can you imagine? I just want us to think of a child. This may be in an orphanage with no parents, and they are among a whole lot of children, and they are not among their siblings, they're among just strangers, and they have a life, but it's not the best life. And then someone comes along, and they see this child, and they want it, and their love just pours out on that child. And they said, I want this child. I want to adopt this child. And so the child has now a chance to have a new life, a better life, a life that's has love, is surrounded by love, people that love them and care for them and watch for them. And that's the same way it is with us. When we're out in sin, we're groping in darkness and despair, doing things that we many times would regret and just not able to even control ourselves in the way we would want to. But then the Lord comes along and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so when we accept his invitation and we come to him and we give our heart to him, he changes it. Our life then changes. It becomes a life full of love, not regrets, not disappointments. Yeah, we have life happens and we do have certain kind of disappointments, but I'm talking about things that we cause. And now we have a free life and a wonderful experience, a loving father, a loving joint heir with our brother, our elder brother, so to speak, Jesus Christ. And we have something so beautiful. I was thinking about, I was having a conversation with my daughter the other day. We were talking about the one that was adopted in our family. And she was saying, oh, and we just loved him so much. And I know that was true. He was just so special. He grew up just with love poured on him. Love from us that adopted him. A love from the rest of the family. And this is the way we have in Christ. That kind of love. That kind of acceptance. Maybe say I'm a person, I stutter. I don't get my words out good. But in that adopted family, they're not looking at that. They're loving you. Jesus is the same. God is loving us. He knows things about us that sometimes other people might just be put out with us. We have these little idiosyncrasies that sometimes annoy other people. But Jesus doesn't look at it the same way as others. He look at his love for us, and he's willing to work with us and help us. What a privilege it is to be adopted into this kingdom of his dear son. But now, with that adoption, it's something on our part. He wants us to live a holy life. Live a life that's pleasing to him. And we want to live to please him. I think that the child that's adopted, they want to please the family, the mother and all. And they want to reciprocate that love. And if we love God, if we appreciate what he's done for us, then we want to reciprocate the love that he's shown to us by living to please him. And how can we live to please him? What does it take? He wants us to live a clean and holy life. You see, God is holy. He wants us to walk in the newness of life. Let's go to Colossians 1:13.
Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
See, we're no longer in that state that we used to be in. He's translated us. We're in a new life now. Just like the adopted child is in a new life, a new home, and have new hopes and new aspirations. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. But there is something. We want to do things to please our Father.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
So we have a new life now, and we want to please the Lord, and we want to live like the Lord would have. When we think of God himself, we know that he is holy. And so the life that we live should be pure and holy before him. 1 Peter 1:15-16. So now we have this wonderful new life. We have this wonderful opportunity to live in a different environment, a different way. And so we want to live just like Christ lived. I was talking to someone that had their granddaughter was adopted, and they were saying something about their family, and this child says, "I'm glad to be," I won't say the name, but I'll say like Clay. "I'm glad to be a Clay." She was adopted, but she was glad to be a part of that family. And so we can be glad to be a child of God. And to be glad to be a child of God, we want to live like a child of God. We want to walk like it. We want to talk like it. We want to think like it. Did you get 1 Peter 1:15-16?
1 Peter 1:15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy."
Yes. Now that Jesus, he's called us and we're a part of him, we want to be holy. God is holy. We want to be holy like him. That means live a pure and clean life. We don't want to, forsake the old life and the things that's not righteous, and we want to follow after righteousness and godliness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7.
But God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness.
That's right. Thank the Lord. So we know then that we're not going to be living like we old. We put aside the old life, and we now have a new life in Christ, and we want to live that way. Ephesians, the last scripture is Ephesians 4:22-24.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
That did you do to 24?
Okay. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yes. So you see, we want to live a holy life. We want to appreciate what God has done for us. He's made a possibility for us to have this great inheritance and have access to him, just like Christ had access to the Father. We can go straight to him. Back before the Christ came, people would go and they would offer sacrifices. The high priest had to offer sacrifice for him and for the people. That was torn down. That veil was torn down when Jesus died on the cross. And now we have access to him. We can go straight to him. And since we have this great privilege, we must live a holy and pure and righteous life before him. Pray for me.